Back together again, you and I chatting it up Thursday style, December 11th, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. We looked at a new report out of Boston University recommending that Connecticut cities and towns think about abandoning that traditional last hired, first fired plan when possibly deciding on teacher layoffs because they say of the possible negative effects on retaining teachers of color. 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Band Drum Major Gunnery Sergeant Kevin Dalton stopped by to chat about the band's two performances coming up at the Klein Memorial Auditorium in Bridgeport. And CBS News reporter Linda Kenyon at the White House briefed us on the U.S. seizing a Venezuelan oil tanker earlier in the week.
How many of us over our lives, depending upon where we've worked, whether it's our first job, whether it's a fast food joint, whether it's, a more organized setting, whether it's an office or whatever, how many of us have in some way, shape, or form, maybe through our personal experience or not, but how many of us have eventually learned about that theory that's called, and we've all heard it, right, in the workplace, at some way, shape, or form, last hired, first fired, right? We've heard about that, right? Meaning, it's pretty simple. If there have to be layoffs at a company, or an office, or a small manufacturer, or a big manufacturer, whatever, if we have to go through layoffs, there's kind of a hierarchy there, right? Last hired, and sometimes this has to do with union contracts. Sometimes it has to do, maybe it's not necessarily a union shop, but there's, kind of, sort of, an unwritten rule that, hey, if the axe has to fall, if business wasn't, as good as it was last year, this year, yeah, you know, the younger folk, the ones that don't have a lot of years here, they would be let go first, right? So we've all heard of, right, say it again, last hired, first fired. Well, apparently there's a new report out, and I found this interesting, and I wanted to start with this today because it does, you know, at first blush, you're reading, you say, oh, it's a bunch of wonks here, but At first blush, you may think that, but then you think about it and say, hey, is last hired, first fired really detrimental, especially to the, and we talk about them all the time because we love them, our teachers here in Connecticut. Interesting story today from the Connecticut Insider and Natasha Sokoloff. New report out there says Connecticut should rethink teacher layoff policies that prioritize seniority. And seniority is, well, it's kind of a big thing in the private sector. It's a really big thing in the public sector, right? When it comes to police, fire, EMT, city and town employees, city and town works, management, and especially teachers. There's a new report out, incidentally enough, from my alma mater, Boston University, their Wheelock Educational Policy Center. Now, when you have things that come out of a policy center, that's some good cooking right there. They took a look at the recently hired teacher workforce here in the state, in Connecticut, in the context of what we always hear, right, from the teachers union people that have been on this program and have been on Melissa's show and have been on Lisa's show and have been, highlighted in the news on the download with John and Chris. The efforts to get more of a diverse teacher workforce. Get some young teachers in there, right? And they looked at, hey, wait a minute. Does this last in, first out, last hired, first fired, in general, does that hurt the teaching profession? Because you and I see this all the time, right? We see this all the time. Hey, so-and-so district has budget constraints this year. So what happens? They eliminate one coaching position or two coaching positions. They get rid of a couple of paraprofessionals. They get rid of a librarian. Oh, and by the way, we had to get rid of four teachers. Well, the get rid of usually, if not always, in most districts. Now, again, some districts are a little different than others. But usually in most districts, that includes somebody who may be on the young side. Maybe it's an African-American young teacher, Latino teacher. In other words, these people that they're trying to recruit with a teaching certificate to get into the teaching business. And does this whole thing about last hired, first fired, is that just not really good anymore? Now, again, there's a lot of minutiae here. A lot of it has to do with the union contracts. But we'll start with that. And we'll come back. We'll get into this a little bit more. But, and this isn't just limited to teaching, right? Again, private sector, public sector, we've seen this all over the place. All over the joint, as my father used to say. One of his favorite words. Hey, there's a new joint down there. No, not that kind of joint. But in general, and I know it's negotiated in contracts, and I know it's a big sticking point in governmental and municipal negotiations, but the old phrase of last hired, first fired, meaning that seniority is the big factor here, right? Is that fair? Not just in teaching, but honestly, is that fair? Now, you may say, well, yeah, how else do you do it? I don't know. Again, I'm not a lot of the stuff I bring up here on the show, Lord knows, I'm not an expert in. But should we look once again at the old theory, I should say, not saying whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. Last hired, first fired. At least one major college, BU, says it may not be the best idea for Connecticut's teachers. Now, if you're a union teacher with 20-something years, you're probably going to say, the hell it isn't. I don't want to get laid off. But let's get more into that as we continue. So our question of the day, as we often start every program with that, question of the day, talk or text here, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. New report out there says Connecticut school districts should reconsider any last hired, first fired policies, or last in, first out. Do you agree with that or not? Let us know as we're up and underway right here on WICC. Yeah, good to have you with us here. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. New report out from an education policy think tank at Boston University, my alma mater. No, they don't get a flood of money from me. I think I've sent them a couple of $100 over 40 years, but that's another story. But a think tank at BU says that last in, first out policy, or last hired, first fired policy, that is present in a lot of areas of Connecticut, in particular teaching and teachers and school districts and those districts handled by boards of education. That might not be a good idea. It's an interesting story here by Natasha Sokoloff in CT Insider department here on Hearst. New report says Connecticut should rethink teacher layoff policies, a lot of them, that prioritize seniority. And, you know, I've always thought about this. And look, I know there's a lot of present-day teachers out there who listen to me, or listen to the radio station, obviously. A lot of retired teachers already, a lot of teachers getting ready to retire. I hear about them all the time, hear from them all the time. If you want to chime in on this, but you don't want to actually be on the radio because you're afraid somebody might recognize you, you can text me, same number, talk or text, at 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Last in, first out. Last hired, first fired. How above and beyond the whole union seniority thing here, how does that make any sense? I mean, I would think, and again, maybe some of you active teachers, retired teachers, getting ready to retire, have just retired, whatever, I would think that there have been times where you're sitting there and you're having coffee or lunch or breakfast in the faculty room at some school, and you're sitting there saying, hey, yeah, did you hear what happened last night? What? Yeah, the Board of Ed, yeah. 10 positions here. Really? Yeah. Good thing they were going to do 20. They're going to hold it to 10. Get rid of something in athletics, too, and some after-school stuff. Oh, that's too bad. So who are they letting go? And then, you know, you talk with your fellow teacher or assistant or paraprofessional. Well, you know, it's X, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. Oh, well, they're letting her go. Why is that? Or letting him go. Why is that? Well, seniority. Really? He's a great young teacher. She's fantastic. And they're keeping so-and-so. Yep. Seniority. Now, if you're one of the teachers that avoids the layoffs, you're going to sit there and go, you bet your sweet ass seniority. Yeah, you know that. Bet your keister. Uh-huh. But does this report have a point here? The report found that roughly 1,500 teachers of color in Connecticut could be subjected to a last-in, first-out layoff policy. So again, the report points out here that even though we talk a good game as to getting a more diverse teaching force and getting folks maybe to go in and teach at some lower income or tougher inner city schools, maybe with teachers of the main representative population of the students, if they're subjected to the budget acts as the first one, and maybe older teachers who've been there 20 or 30 years and are very, very proud of their service so far, what good does that do? I mean, listen, you and I know, now I've never been a teacher. God bless my friends and relatives that are. And this is a big aspect that happens in the teacher contracts. Around 1,700 more teachers of color taught in Connecticut classrooms last year in 2024 than 10 years previously. So that's a good jump. But because of that, a seniority-based layoff approach may undermine the state's recent gains in educator diversity, right? Is that unfair? Now, you may say, well, wait a minute. Bouncing somebody who's been a teacher for 20 or 30 years in favor of somebody that just joined, well, Paul, maybe that's unfair. Maybe it is. I don't know. Like I said, this is one of these things I bring to the table I don't have an answer for. I don't. And I don't know what the answer is. You know, seniority, when you think about it, it kind of is the easiest way to do this, right? Well, you've only been here 2 years, sorry. Everybody else has been here 7, 8, 10, 15, 20, 30, so you're gone. But what if that teacher, serious question here, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. What if that teacher, who's only been there a couple, 3 years, is really good? What if that teacher, if she and or he, she, or she, he, whatever. I know I got to be nice. What if they're really engaging the students? And yet you have some teachers, with all due respect, and I've heard from teachers who talk about some of their fellow teachers this way. You know, you have, all right, a marginal teacher who's counting the days to retirement. One more year, 11 more months, and they're kind, you know, they're kind of sleepwalking. They're doing their classes, but whatever. And again, I've heard this from teachers who've told me this on and off the air over the years. So is there any other way to do this other than last in, first out, last hired, first fired? Now, it points out here in the story, there is a little wiggle room in some districts here, but boy, this is an interesting story. That you're trying to get younger people, a more diverse band of people into teaching, yet a lot of them could get gonged, like we hear every year of some education systems that have to cut back here. start off with Paul in Bethel before news and all that. Paul, good afternoon. How are you? What's up?
Good, Paul. So the thing about the last in, first out thing is it becomes a rule, and people in general don't like confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have to fire somebody, they say, well, it's out of my hands.
Yeah.
We have to let somebody go, and you're the last one here, so you're the first one to go. And it makes life easy. So it's the easy fallback position. But as you say, you know, you could easily lose quality people for that reason. So I think, you know, when you see public sector jobs, union jobs, you know, that's always been the rule. Private sector can be a little more
mm-hmm.
discerning, you know, and keep the good ones and lose the not so good ones. And of course, there's always gray area. Well,
yeah.
They've been here 30 years. They do a good job. Somebody's better, but they've only been here 2 years.
And, yeah.
You know, you can always do that.
Yeah, that
so
is.
There's all that.
Yeah, Paul, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, it is. It you know, the last in, first out, when you think about it, as Paul said, that is kind of the easiest way to do it, right? But again, this, and again, it's not only teaching. Even other jobs I've been involved with, union and non-union, you know, you're told along the way, hey, if we ever have to cut jobs, we're doing it the easy way. We're washing our hands. We're going full Pontius Pilate here. Last hired, first fired.
Yeah, do we have a treat coming up for you this coming Monday and Tuesday, the 15th and 16th at the Klein Memorial Auditorium, the beautiful Klein, newly renovated, nice and spiffy there. A reschedule of a couple of concerts that should have happened a couple of weeks ago, but they were put off because of the government shutdown. Thankfully, we're well beyond that. Free holiday concerts with a dash of Italian flair. Yes, they've been at Bridgeport numerous years, decades. The 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Band. It's at the Klein, of course, 910 Fairfield Avenue. 7 o'clock showtimes. Doors open at 6. Now, the tickets are free, but you've got to get a ticket beforehand. And again, part of that also is a effort to raise non-perishable items for the needy around the Bridgeport area. And joining us right now out of Cherry Point, North Carolina, is the drum major, or a drum major, for the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Band, Gunnery Sergeant Kevin Dalton. Sergeant, it's Paul here at WYCC in Bridgeport. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me today.
Well, thank you, and appreciate your efforts. So, how did you get involved with the band? I've been watching some of the videos here. You guys and gals sound great. Was music a lifetime avocation of yours?
It most certainly was. It started off as a hobby and then slowly became something that I got more and more passionate about.
Yeah.
And I found the Marine Corps and their music program, and it's been a long tenure, 20 years worth of music career for me.
And you're set to retire, correctly? I mean, you're leaving, what, active service on December the 19th, aren't you? Is that what it says here?
Yep, I'll retire from active duty service after 20 years and some change on December 19th. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the basically a generation 20 years, Sergeant? What's it been like in the Marine Corps for you?
Oh, it's definitely been an awesome treat. My job has taken me many places that I could never have dreamed about going,
mm-hmm.
and I've met so many people that otherwise, without this career, I probably wouldn't have bumped into, and among those are the wonderful people in Bridgeport and the surrounding areas that I've been privileged enough to be able to be a part of 8 of these 36 years.
Wow. So what leads somebody, Sergeant Dalton, from somebody who has an avocation of music as a young age to ply that trade in a service like you have in the Marine Corps? Tell us about your journey a little bit.
Well, I had essentially just felt more of a call to service. I wanted to explore some things, travel a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I found the Marine Corps before I found Marine Corps music,
mm-hmm.
and the Marine Corps just kind of had the set values and basic tenets that I was just attracted to in growing as a young man. And then once I found out that they had a music program, it just kind of put two of the things that I was really aspiring to do together in one package.
What is the Marine Corps music program like? I mean, obviously, all the armed services dating back to, you know, the heyday, World War One, World War Two, and the big band leaders, a lot of them in the services. But what's the Marine Corps music program like?
So it's heavily centered around one of our famous composers and directors in John Philip Sousa, and mm-hmm. marine music has always had a prominence since his day. The thing that I grab onto a lot more about the Marine Corps is, I guess in relation to a lot of the other services, is that I'm expected to be a Marine at Brass Roots. So I get to experience a lot of the things that any other occupation in the Marine Corps does, as well as music. For example, we have had opportunities to operate as security forces abroad on either deployments or deployments for training as well. Mm. Just to be able to get a wide variety of experience and then return to the job and get some more experience as a professional musician abroad around the globe.
Gunnery Sergeant Kevin Dalton joining us. He is the drum major in the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Band. Again, two free performances coming up this Monday and Tuesday at the Klein. I've interviewed musicians of every ilk before, Sergeant, and I always ask this question. I want to ask it of you. When you're performing and maybe looking out on crowds, small and large, what does it feel like to see all ages and their eyes looking at you and the way maybe the music is not just making them feel good, but touching them emotionally, spiritually, and with a lot of the folks, you guys and gals, the music you play patriotically as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things about being a musician that keeps you going is the shared emotional experience with an audience that sometimes you've never even had a conversation with, never met before. And even sometimes you don't even speak the same spoken language. Mm-hmm. But being able to share a common feeling around music, because it doesn't take a language degree to be able to listen and understand and feel music. It's just an unspoken language, and being able to share in those moments is probably one of the more fulfilling things I do as a musician.
Give my audience here, Sergeant, an oh wow moment or two that you've had in the years you've done this. What sits in front of your mind if I asked you, recount a moment or two maybe while you were playing and you looked out and you had this oh wow moment?
Well, I would say the first one that stands out in my head is some of the professional football games that I've played at. The immense amount of noise that comes with being in a venue of that sort. And it feels completely different down on the field than it does up in the stands. But I would say the second for me, I was privileged and honored to be able to go with one of our sister service in the Navy. They have a band over in Naples, Italy, and I was able to go on tour with them through Finland, predominantly. Wow. In Helsinki. And Finland was at that time housing a lot of Ukrainian refugees. And being able to do a couple of concerts at the Ukrainian refugee centers and the amount of one reception from them and their appreciation for us being there, and did not speak the same language at all, but we played a couple of songs that were familiar to them, and the amount of emotion that was shared and exchanged without a single word was probably one of the more profound moments of my career.
What will the crowds, Sergeant, Monday and Tuesday at the Klein, what will they hear? What's on the set list?
So we do have a mix of holiday music. We've got some more contemporary, upbeat, interaction-type tunes with our what we call a brass band. It's a nine-piece New Orleans-style brass band. And then we do have some patriotic music in the lineup as well.
All right. Final thing I got to ask you, what's on your playlist? What's on your Spotify or your Apple playlist when you're kicking back and have the earbuds in? What are you listening to?
Well, I definitely do like a lot of brass band style music. So anything from Lucky Chops and Too Many Zoos is normally first up in my playlist.
Absolutely. There you have it. Out of Cherry Point, North Carolina, Marine Gunnery Sergeant Kevin Dalton. He's the drum major coming up this Monday and Tuesday for the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Band shows at the Klein Memorial in Bridgeport. He says he loves Bridgeport. He's been here several times. Hey, Sergeant, thank you, number one, for your service. Thank you for being in the band, and good luck on your future after your coming retirement. We appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sergeant. Appreciate it. Gunnery Sergeant Kevin Dalton. On the other side of the news, we'll give you the details. If you haven't got your tickets, you can get them But you do have to get them in advance. They are free. So we'll talk more about that coming up right here on WICC. Something else I'm confused with in Washington, the Venezuelan oil tanker. What are we doing here? Are we stealing oil? I don't know. Let's go to CBS News correspondent Linda Kenyon, who's in D.C. right now. Linda, it's Paul. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. Linda, please explain. What is the? I've been trying to understand this. What is the White House saying about this Venezuelan oil tanker that we've kind of, commandeered here? What's the latest on this?
Yeah, you know, I've been getting a lot of questions about this. One of the major ones is, what are we now, pirates?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, all right, well, I mean, what is the White House line on this, Linda?
Well, I will tell you that the president made an unusual announcement yesterday. He was in the meeting room with some business leaders.
Yeah.
And at the very top, he said, well, you probably already know this, but we just seized a large oil tanker. It's probably one of the largest oil tankers in the world.
And, yeah.
And you'll be talking to other people about that later. And we all kind of went, wait, what?
What?
And then at the end, when we finally got to ask questions, he said to one reporter, the reporter said, where is the tanker going? What about the oil?
Yeah.
And the president said to him, well, you're a good newsman. Just get a helicopter and go follow the tanker.
Oh, man.
So we did. Only without a helicopter. And what we learned was that it's a very strange story.
Yeah.
That this tanker was, it's called the Skipper.
Yeah.
It was actually a Nigerian flagged oil tanker owned by a third company.
Yeah.
From another country. It has ties to, under previous names and ownership, to Hezbollah, to Iran, and the IRGC, which is the Islamic Republic rebel forces.
Yeah.
And that it was in violation of U.S. sanctions. So the U.S. Also says that the tanker was carrying oil from Iran and Venezuela, and that it was seized just after it left port in Venezuela.
Yeah.
Off the Venezuelan coast, and is either now or has already is about to arrive at a U.S. port. And when asked what about the oil, is the U.S. going to commandeer the oil?
Uh-huh.
And the White House press secretary said that it is a sanctioned vessel. It is sanctioned oil.
Mm.
And there is a legal process that will be followed. And the U.S. will take possession of that oil.
All right. Well, Linda, thank you. Honestly, now I just learned something there. All right. So this seriously, now this goes back to the Middle East. It's making, Linda, maybe not complete sense, but a little more sense. And I thank you for that, okay?
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Linda Kenyon, CBS News. Linda, thanks as always. Be good. Have a happy weekend. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You too.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. So there you go. So how about that?